A lot of talk over the last few days. I think some of the talk's been a little bit mean-spirited, as far as I'm concerned, about the apology to the Stolen Generation. We spoke yesterday to the Victorian Premier, Geoff Kennett. He did it 11 years ago in the Victorian Parliament, and he argues that if it is going to mean something to people and if it is going to be a symbolic move forward, then we should do it. But he also says that the last 11 years has been largely wasted in terms of what we've done to try to help and try and redress the imbalance in the living standards and just the life expectancy of Indigenous people in our country. There are things that are happening, and at a practical level, I think one of the great programs that's been operating for quite a while involves St Joseph's College at Hunters Hill, one of our best-known GPS schools, which has made a big difference to the lives of many young Indigenous Australians. It's called the St Joseph's College Indigenous Fund. They raise money so that young Indigenous boys from disadvantaged communities in the central, north and west of the state can come to Sydney for a top-rate education. They come, they live here. It's been very, very successful. Other Sydney schools are looking to follow suit. And Andrew Penfold is a man I've spoken to about this on many occasions. He's the chairman of the Indigenous Fund. He's on the line with me now. Andrew, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good. It's good to know that it's going forward. But tell me, just explain again for our listeners who mightn't have heard about it, exactly how it works.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, I mean, as you say there, there's been a lot of talk about the apology coming up, and that's an important thing to be done. But, you know, it's really about what else are we going to do to address things in a practical and tangible means. And, you know, what we need to do is to work together so that, you know, all of us play a part in doing something. And what's been happening at St Joseph's College now for about 10 years is that the school has been taking Indigenous kids in from all over rural and regional New South Wales on scholarship in order to give them access to a top-class education. And we've just had just remarkable results over the last years. You know, the school started this program in 1998, and in the last 5 years we've had 17 Indigenous boys complete their HSC at St Joseph's, and many of them have gone on to tertiary education and other productive careers. And young men like, I think we spoke last time about Craig Ashby, who was the young fella from Walgett who came down to school and couldn't read or write at the age of 15. 4 years later, he's finished his high school certificate and he's now just completed his second year at Sydney University and just getting remarkable results. So it's cases like this, and it's really about giving these kids the opportunity. It's not a handout. It's not, you know, a high school certificate is not something you can give somebody. It's something that they have to earn themselves.
Okay.
But really what we're doing is giving them the opportunity to earn it themselves.
Let me ask the question, though. Someone like Craig Ashby, who, as you say, got to 15, couldn't read or write. He was essentially recruited to the program, I suppose, to St Joseph's, but he wasn't taken from his family, was he? They were happy to see him go and get the advantages that were being offered?
Absolutely. I mean, in Craig's particular case, his mother died when he was very young, so he was actually raised by his nan. And in the case of Craig, it was he that actually approached Father PJ O'Neill, who was the parish priest there in Walgett, who had sent quite a lot of boys our way. And Craig himself approached Father PJ and begged him to give him this opportunity. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and Father PJ got on the phone, brought Craig down to Sydney, and Craig was just begging for the opportunity.
And again, and I need to make sure that, you know, people who might be a bit cynical about these things, they have all their concerns addressed. You're not going around looking for kids that have got great rugby skills, because Joey's is a great rugby school. These kids come from all walks of life, and they're kids with all kinds of talents, aren't they?
Absolutely. Look, Joey's is a fantastic rugby school. There's no denying that. In fact, it's produced more Wallabies than any other school in the country by nearly double. But, you know, these kids are not in any way selected because of their sporting ability. It's completely irrelevant. These kids are selected because they're in need, and they've got enthusiasm and they've got leadership potential. Yeah.
The other concern I have, Andrew, and this is important, someone like Craig is in his second year at Sydney Uni. No one can force anyone to do anything, but what you'd like is people like Craig to ultimately return to their community and then use their skills and what they have to then inspire other young people. Is
exactly
that going to happen?
Well, Craig, for example, again, he's actually studying to teaching degree to become a school teacher. He's already going back to Walgett during his university holidays, doing his practical teaching back there in the primary school, working with the school down there, talking to kids and encouraging kids. helping kids realise that they've got other opportunities in life and understand the value of an education.
So
at the same time, actually, you know, in Craig's case particularly, he's actually been working with Father Chris Riley on Youth Off the Streets, helping them establish another kind of outreach program in Walgett for young Indigenous kids as well. So these kids are going back and becoming fantastic role models in their community. And Craig's one example, but there's plenty of others who are doing similar things.
Yeah, so he could return to Walgett as a school teacher. Wouldn't that be something?
Just that
a
would few, be,
you know,
that
relatively,
would
be. What, 10 years after he couldn't read or write?
Exactly, and in fact, that would be Craig's dream, I think.
Gee, that'd be good. And this is now spreading to other schools as well?
That's right. I mean, there's a lot of schools around Sydney who have been getting involved in Indigenous education programs over the last few years. I mean, schools like Joey's, Riverview and Scott's. And also there's a lot of the girls' schools who are getting on board and not getting on board but have been doing so for some time. So if you look at schools like King Copple at Rose Bay, St Vincent's at Potts Point, St Catherine's at Waverley, St Scholastic's in Glebe, these are all schools that have been enrolling Indigenous kids for many years. And what we're now looking at doing is how can we, leverage off the success we've had on the fundraising side of things of the program at St Joseph's and all of the learnings and lessons that we've gained there. How can we then sort of scale those up so that we can have a coordinated approach to help raise money for scholarships at a number of different schools.
All right.
So we're actually starting a new foundation now where we'll be doing that and in partnership with a lot of different schools around Australia.
When you get that up and running, come back on, give us all the details because I'm always happy to help.
Would love to do that.
It's such a great program.
Love to do that.
Andrew, congratulations. Well done.
And John, can I just add one other thing?
Yeah.
I know, you know, we're just coming into the sort of reporting season for the bank's half-yearly results, and I know it's a bit of a national pastime. People love to beat up on the banks all the time. But I think that the stories that don't get told very often are the great work that these banks are actually doing. And, you know, we're lucky enough to have banks like Commonwealth Bank and UBS Investment Bank supporting us. And, you know, I think people should, stop and think also about some of the good work that these people are doing in the community. Because, you know, without banks like that, and without people who, you know, we hear a lot about executive pay and everything, but the generosity these people have got to invest in programs like ours and to provide their leadership and advice and their networks and all of that sort of thing, if we didn't have them, we just wouldn't be able to do programs like this. And I think just, sometimes that's something that people don't remember.
Joe, I was getting ahead of steam up to have a crack at the bank soon. I might have to put it off to later in the show, Andrew.
Well, look, I just think it's something that everyone sort of defaults to criticise the banks. And I think people often, you know, forget that there are the banks that they're all doing great things. And it's not just the banks, it's the individuals that are running them.
Sure.
And the staff that work for them. And, you know, we certainly wouldn't be having the success in these sort of programs that we have if we didn't have support from people like them.
Okay, Andrew, well done. We'll talk down the track as you broaden this out.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Andrew Penfold, he's the chairman of the St Joseph's College Indigenous Fund.